From the shores of the Colorado River on the beautiful Parker Strip, you're listening to the Parker Livecast.
I have no idea.
It was very good.
But that was like one breath.
Was it really?
Dude, I have discovered that I can hold my breath for a very, very long time.
You're an astonishing gentleman. Has anyone ever said that to you before? You're an astonishing gentleman.
I did that in Seattle in the jacuzzi, the hot tub of the motel that Melissa and I were staying at. Uh-huh. I was staying with your wife in a hotel.
Which is...
For a whole week.
Yeah, which is funny.
Although we never went swimming together. but no, I hopped in this jacuzzi on, I think it was Tuesday night, the first time I went down there. I did a little workout in the gym.
Should we clarify to listeners that it was a conference?
It was a conference. It wasn't like...
You guys were working together.
Working together. It was there for PACE, which is a local organization. Mm-hmm. That's for the community, a drug-free, violence-free community. It's
yes,
good.
Right.
And so we went up there for this wonderful conference and breakout sessions, if you will. Met a lot of people. Had a lot of great information. We stayed at this place called the Liberty Inn.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
It was good. Their gym was basically a closet. But I went into the hot tub after the gym, and I took a deep breath, and I went to the bottom of the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed there. And I just kept staying there. And I was like, I'm not running out of air.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long I was under there.
Right.
I think it was 25 minutes.
Dude, so you
I might have been drinking. No.
But you went under the water.
No, I went under the water because I find it very relaxing and peaceful, and it feels great to submerse my entire self underneath a hot tub.
Yes.
In like 102-degree water.
Have you ever heard of a sensory deprivation tank?
Yes, I have, actually.
And have you been in one? I have not been in one, but it's becoming a whole thing. People are saying, you know, this is what you need to be doing. This helps you with life, you know, somehow.
Sensory deprivation.
You go in the sensory deprivation tank and somehow you're transported to this whole other place where your mind can be free to manifest healing things. I don't know,
dude. It's free of sound. It's free of sight.
Of everything.
It's free of taste and smell because you're underwater.
It's free of soul, if you will. But the whole point is, like, you discover yourself in the sensory... at least I think that's what it is, the sensory deprivation tank. So it sounds like that's what you're doing a little bit. When you go under the water, you're saying, you know, world, just... hit the pause button for a second because I'll be right back. But I need to be in here by myself right now.
Yes. Yeah. I am ridding myself of a certain element.
Yeah.
And that is oxygen. but there's something about it. And also, for those out there who have gone scuba diving before, have you gone scuba diving?
I have.
Okay.
I like it.
You're underwater. And that first time you take a breath underwater.
Oh, it's weird.
It is. It's very strange. But pretty soon you start to find this rhythm of breathing under the water. And it becomes, all you can hear is.
It's so weird. Yeah.
And that's all you hear.
Yeah, it's weird.
You just hear yourself breathing in.
Have you ever taken
a regulator?
Have you ever taken in a gulp of water? While you've been under? Yeah, accidentally.
No.
I have.
Did you? That's bad. That's panicking.
It's horrible because what you do is you kind of go, I'm too far down now underneath the water to do anything about this situation. And instantly you start to panic and you start to tell yourself, don't panic. That's going to be bad.
Yeah.
And then what you got to do is you've got to sort of expel it. It's got those little holes where you can push the water out, you know, without taking the thing out of your mouth. So I did that. And then I took my first breath after that. And realized, oh, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And at that point, you start to become aware that your heart is racing and that you're actually trying, you know, there's a little moment there that was going on.
A bit of an adrenaline rush.
Really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you don't do it.
Anyway, welcome to the Parker Livecast.
Yes, welcome to Scuba Diving Hour.
Yeah.
Parker Pike.
Josh and I are by ourselves this week. We just wanted to jump on and give you a quick little Happy New Year and tell you it's 2015. And
it's been before Christmas. It was before Christmas.
Yes, it was
before
Christmas.
That was the last time we did the live cast.
Yeah,
and you weren't here. I was hosting.
You were hosting.
And my original plan was to do a Twas the Night Before Parker Christmas.
"'Twas the night before Parker Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse."
There you go. That was it. It was going to be something like that, and then like a bunch more words after that. So it's been a long time, because Christmas, to me at least, seems like forever ago.
I know, it does.
This last week felt like a month.
That's because you were sick. How is your...
I'm feeling a lot better. Yeah. I mean, Melissa started getting sick, I believe, Thursday night.
Yeah, I just saw her. She's feeling a whole lot better.
That's good.
And you know what? I know because all of a sudden, like, she's starting to smile and stuff again and laugh, and I go, oh, she's feeling better.
Yeah.
You know?
She wasn't there for a while.
Yeah. So here's what just happened. I went to Crossroads tonight. I never eat like traditional food. You know what I mean? Like I eat
napkins.
I eat burrito. I mean, I know that burritos, but I'm saying like I never eat a sort of like mashed potatoes and meatloaf and things like that.
Meat potatoes.
Yeah, I never eat like that country kitchen type, you know, stuff that you say.
Hearty.
Yeah, meat and potatoes. I never eat that. So I felt like that. So we went to Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Which had a meatloaf special on tonight.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
I need to get over there.
Let me tell you something, Josh. You know, don't.
It was good, apparently.
Are you okay?
There's a cough. Okay.
So, don't. Yeah, that was you. That was you, dude. All right. So don't get gravy on your. On your meatloaf. Here's why.
Is it brown gravy?
Yeah, it's brown gravy. Don't do it because that's like outsourcing your decision for... you want to be in full control of your condiments at all times.
You do want to be full in control of your condiments.
And it's way better if you just say, look, enough with the gravy. Hold the gravy. And, you know, I'll be in charge of what goes on this meal. Not you. Not you, chef.
Not you.
You know what I mean?
It's in my hands.
I mean, I know you're a cook and you're an expert, but I don't appreciate it. So anyway, I ordered it without the gravy, and it was great, and it was a really good meal.
Did you get the gravy on the potatoes, at least?
No, I do not do that.
Are you not a gravy guy?
I'm not a gravy guy.
Wow.
I think gravy's a manifestation of evil. So anyway, I left Crossroads, and I came over here to the radio station, the studios of KLPZ. I walk in through the door, and I... You're going to laugh when you realize where I went, because you know I disappeared.
You disappeared. You came in.
I came in. I'm like, hey, Josh, what's up, baby?
And I heard you.
You hear me, but I'm like, then I disappeared. You came out of the bathroom.
Because I was in the bathroom.
You had been in the bathroom.
I was in the bathroom.
And you came out, and you're like.
I was like, hey, bro.
Nothing, because there was a.
It was crickets.
Here's what happened.
Okay.
On my way over here, I realized I really need to go to the bathroom. So I come in, and you're in the bathroom. Now, we do have a female bathroom that I could have gone to, but it's right next to the male one.
Okay.
And I needed to do the same thing that you were doing. And I was like, this is just going to be weird. We're sitting
there. Why is that weird?
Because it's next to each other. Like, I don't know, dude. And I thought to myself, I don't want to sit here and.
It's weird that you felt uncomfortable about that.
But I don't want to sit and take a shit while you're doing the same thing. I left and I went to Burger King and then I came back.
I'm glad we've shared that information.
Mm.
Look. It was a great Christmas. It's a great New Year's. It was a great week in Seattle. There's tons of stories that go along with that, of which this isn't really the time nor the place.
It's not the time
to talk about
place.
Those, because we're not going to be here a really long time. It's just you and I tonight.
Yeah.
Jimmy's daughter, Addie, is sick, unfortunately. She has this crud that's been going around.
Yeah, Mike's in Southern California.
Mike's in SoCal.
Melissa is she's sort of recovering from illness. Mm-hmm. You yourself are recovering from illness, but you are a trooper, my friend.
I push through, John.
I know. You do like to do that.
I push through.
What is now? There's a couple of things. First of all, the Parker 250 has been and gone.
Been and gone. It was a huge success.
Good.
I wasn't here.
I wasn't here.
I try to keep an ear on those things because of what I do with tourism.
Yes.
And I kept very close to the subject matter in Seattle. In fact, it's the most sun I saw in Seattle was on the pictures and videos that people were posting. So
yeah,
thank
real.
You. There's literally no sun. I don't think there's a sun in Seattle.
I don't think there is one.
I don't think there is.
They don't have one up there.
They don't. It's just cloud coverage.
Yeah.
Like a giant comforter of depression. Mm-hmm. But I love the Seattle area. I love Seattle, Portland.
Melissa was telling me that you really liked the weather, and she was was the opposite.
She is the opposite.
Yeah, she wanted the sun, which most sensible people I feel, mm-hmm. you know,
but
are.
But there's one thing I'm not. It's sensible.
And then you came back. Now, we have the Parker 425, the Blue Water Resort and Casino Parker 425 is upcoming. We want to talk about that in the coming weeks because I want to mention. I was going to maybe invite Tuba back, and you can see if you want to get in here with us, Tuba, and join us talk about the race a little bit because I know he's going to be out doing his whole thing. I saw that Best in the Desert has banned the use of drones.
Yes,
did you see that?
I saw that, and it's something that I have to start promoting because people need to know if they're out there flying their drones, they're going to be asked to leave.
Yeah, you're going to have to be, like, gone.
Not even official race.
And I know that Tuba has started to rely, as he told us on the live cast a few weeks ago, he started to rely on drones for capturing this race. So no more, apparently.
So what is the reason behind that? And maybe Tuba can let us in a little more on that. I'm curious.
Something happened.
Something have happened somewhere.
Yeah, it's like everything in off-road racing, I think. Like something happens and they change the rules because someone did something and it caused an accident or hurt somebody.
Was there interference with a helicopter that was perhaps
flying? Or you know what? I wonder happened is that either a drone came down on a race vehicle or something or you know, I can't imagine. They're very small. They wouldn't have been in their way. I would have think they would just bat them out of the way. Or even worse, maybe came down on like a spectator's head and hurt them or something. So there's got to be a reason.
There's got to be a reason.
The other thing I wanted to do was maybe see if and of course, we're going to have our very own Jim Beaver in here. We'll talk to him. But I wanted to see if maybe we could get a hold of Casey Folks.
That would be great.
In the coming weeks. And we'll talk to him.
He's a very nice gentleman. He loves talking about racing.
Is it what in 2 weeks' time, Josh? Is that no 3 weeks?
Yeah, February 5th.
February 5th. Okay, all right, right. Which is actually going to be the 7th, right? It starts on the 5th, the official thing. But
the 5th is Downtown Experience, and also the pre-run, or not the pre-run, but the time trials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the 6th, of course, Blue Water Resort and Casino. You have the Contingency Row, which is always a lot of fun. 7th is race day, and then the 8th are the awards in the morning.
This is a spectator sport. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. The Parker 250, you know, it comes and it goes, and if you blinked, you might miss it because it's a big event, but it's especially big for the quad and bike and those guys, those riders that like to do it. That's who really it's for. It's not so much of a spectator sport. Of course, that it does have spectators, but the Parker 425 is a spectator sport. That's when you get this sort of throng of people out here,
right? There's definitely more that show up for the 425, but the 250 was very well attended. All the local hotels were sold out.
Wow.
Including upriver all the way in Havasu. So I see it great for both racers and fans.
Don't you think you and I could put together sort of like a Baja Bug and race the Parker 425?
Race in that class? I think we could, and I think that we could finish because we would go very slow.
We'd finish at like 4 in the morning.
Would we be successful? No, because there is a certain high level of skill needed to race at that level. There really is. People think it's just driving. It's not just driving.
It's not.
I've spoken to Jimmy about this stuff. I mean, it's intense.
No, it's a whole thing.
And thanks to technology, we can go into the cockpit of these cars.
Yeah.
And you can see what it's like. Like, oh, it's going 85 miles an hour. I've gone 85 before. Have you gone 85 over undriven terrain?
No.
And being jostled around? You have to have a 5-point harness. You have to have a helmet. Dude, it's not like you're just out for a Sunday drive.
No, it's a whole thing.
So there's a certain level of skill, and I think that's admired enough by society to where you'll have sex.
So to bring it full circle, that's what we got.
There we go.
No, I think the whole thing is so impressive, and I can't wait. So that's
I'm
coming
very
up.
Impressed with it. I love the race.
When what is coming up in March?
Well, we have the county fair.
Oh, of course, the fair. There we go.
That's going to be taking place.
By the way, get this weather too that we've been having, like 60s and 70s. Amazing.
Hard to believe that less than a month ago it was snowing in the county.
Right. Everywhere else is freezing their ass off, and we're doing really well.
Yeah. We're doing all right, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Just like a race car driver, we're doing all right.
Anyway, Happy New Year. And
Happy New Year. Christmas was good.
It was good, dude.
It was.
It was.
It's been a crazy start. This is how my year ended and
thank
the year
you for
began.
Coming to my place for New Year's,
by the way.
By the way,
it was good.
It was good.
Didn't work out so much with the date I brought. That was kind of weird.
That was weird.
You know?
But
she bailed right before we went inside.
But there were good reasons for it. Like,
there are good reasons.
You're saying to her at the last minute, hey, you know, looks like my ex is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she kind of freaked on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, what
that's
do you...
second to the last time I saw her.
Second to last?
Yeah, because she was at karaoke, which was a little awkward.
She was?
Yeah, she was there.
Mm.
We didn't start karaoke till pretty late because there was games on, football game. So
I didn't hear this part. So that night she was
Oh, I didn't tell you about that.
No.
Yeah. So I walk in to do Joshioki, and I walk in and there she is. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought she left town because she was supposed to be staying at my house, and then she ended up leaving, of course.
Right.
In fact, my home was being held hostage. Like, I was at your house till like what? Noon the next day?
Yeah.
Because she was still there and I just didn't want, it was going to be a confrontation.
You didn't
want
to deal with it.
Honestly, I was upset. I'm over it now, but
it's a whole piece of drama.
Yeah, I was upset about it. It was ridiculous. It was just dumb. It's like, this is just stupid. So, I went there and there she was. Oh, I thought she went back to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, didn't look at me at all. Not once. I was like, dang, dude.
But she's okay. At your event.
She's there with some friends that she knows from here. And you could go ahead and burp out loud if you want. Or no, are you going to vomit?
I'm hiccuping.
You're hiccuping?
Yeah, okay. I can't help it.
I thought the story was making you sick.
No.
I will never, mark my words, I will never perform a wedding ceremony in a church ever again.
Why?
It's my delivery, my ceremony is very secular and casual. And when you go to a church, there's a certain level of non-secularism that is expected.
Right.
Well, my service has nothing to do with God, okay?
Yeah.
And they asked me for that.
It's about the two people.
It's about the two people, okay? It's about those two people, the love that they share.
Yeah.
But it's because of God that they met.
Hey, believe what you want. Honestly, it's because of school. That's why they met. That's why these two people met, okay? Both of their families moved to the same area. All right. God's a busy guy. He's not going to be like, hold everything. We need to make sure these two individuals. No, look, it's not one in a million crap. Okay. Look, This is my theory on love. There's no such thing as one in a million. You meet the one and then you make them the only. Right. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
So they meet. They fall in love. It's an old family friend of mine. And they say, hey, we want you to do this, the ceremony. Perfect. I would love to do it. Drove up there, performed the service. Hey, everybody, boo, hiss. Okay, whatever. It was a tough crowd, right? There was a lot of people liked it, but a lot of other people were just like, man, it sticks up their butts, dude. It's church.
So hold on.
Okay?
I mean, you didn't literally get boos and hisses, did you?
No, but the looks that I was getting were definitely, you know, definitely like, what are you doing? This is so not what you should be doing in a church.
Really?
Yeah. But here's this is the most important thing.
Did you just feel that from them?
I felt it. I saw it.
It was real.
The family that hired me.
What kind of church?
It was an LDS church.
Okay.
Which was interesting because I used to go.
Yes.
The congregation, a lot of the groom side, the groom wasn't, he doesn't go to church, but a lot of his side were LDS.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted, I guess they would have preferred that the grandpa do it or something. This is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want the grandpa to do it because then it would have been a church wedding. They didn't want a church wedding, but they did it at the church because it was free.
Yeah, but so they're Mormon people, but they're not practicing or like they don't go to church every week or whatever.
Well, I think a majority of the people in the congregation on the groom side did
go
to church. And I think that was their building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't want to give the impression that I was irreverent in any way. I wasn't. I wasn't the preacher. I wasn't the bishop. I wasn't the guy that was up there. And I think people were sensitive to that, unreasonably sensitive to that.
Did any of them know? Sorry, I'm hiccuping.
I know. You've been hiccuping for like 10 minutes.
Did some of these people maybe know in the congregation that you used to be very active LDS?
I don't think so. I don't know how they would have unless the family told them.
Okay. All right.
But here, the point I'm getting at is this. The people that hired me, the bride and groom, they were very happy with what I did. They loved it.
Good.
They had a great time. And that's all I need.
No, that's good.
And the fact that the brother-in-law of the bride, who's a Marine, who is in full dress, by the way, in his Marine uniform, who was photographing the entire event,
mm-hmm.
he laughed at everything I said that was funny.
Yeah.
Out loud.
Good.
I was using hashtag, dude. It was great. It was a great ceremony. Outside of a church, people have been rolling, dude. People have been like in the aisles rolling.
So you're making a lot of jokes.
Yes.
And you were saying things like hashtag this and hashtag that.
Hashtag I hope it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. Hashtag, you know, kind of references to the reception.
Right.
And people were loved. Like the gal that hired me, she loved it. She was like, one of a kind, one of a kind.
But the people in the church, not so much.
Not so much.
They were just
honestly, I think that would have gone over the same way if I were at a Presbyterian church, if I were, just because it's not expected. When you're in a church building, you're expecting like a guy in a robe to be like, "We're coming in here today to bring the these two people." I started off with the Princess Bride, right?
Oh.
Marriage. What brings us here today? Yeah, but I start off with that, and I'm thinking, this is going to be perfect because Mormon culture. Right. They love Princess Bride, right? That's like their godfather. That is their – seriously. When I was in college, everyone was like, Princess Bride, let's watch Princess Bride. I watched Princess Bride I don't know how many times when I was a single one.
400 times.
At so least. That,
but the, I mean
– and it didn't go over.
Yeah. Hey, I wrote a thing earlier today. It was a two – it was a to the editor segment on Parker Live. This guy wrote me a letter about – teachers having to go into their own pockets for things like paper, pencils, glue, you know,
ridiculous.
Stuff
that, yeah.
Classroom supplies that you'd think would be provided by the school. And so I did a response to this saying that it was kind of it sounded ridiculous and whatever, but let's ask Jim Lotz, the superintendent of the Parker Unified School District.
Yeah.
And said, look, Jim, can you tell us what the situation actually is on the inside, you know? And you know, so far people are being pretty activated in the response section, in the comments section. This is ridiculous, dude.
I'm not even hearing the story. All I hear is
this is painful, too. Do you ever get hiccups where they're just painful?
Yeah. So Jim Lotz had good things to say.
Well, he described how the state is screwing the school district. I mean, that's not his words.
Yeah, those are you're summarizing.
That's my words to describe what he said, and I think it's accurate. The state is pretty much cutting back all the funding for education. We are
and
now
why?
Because I think they're like, well, we have a limited budget here, and you know, they don't realize that education is is super important. Like,
that's the future. If anything else is the future,
yeah,
it's education.
That's it. And you know,
do we not care about the future?
Evidently not. We are 47th out of 50 states now in terms of education funding per pupil. So here's the deal, Josh. He says that classroom supplies are provided by the school district, but anything sort of beyond the essentials, teachers sometimes reach into their own pockets for those things. But it's because they want to, not because they
And they're already
they have
underpaid.
To. They are underpaid. But look, I mean, here's the deal. I think if the government decides to do something, let's say the government decides to, you know, have roads, I think we should have good roads. I think that, you know.
So if we want to have roads, have good roads.
If we want the government to make roads and be responsible for roads, they should be good roads. If we want the government to be responsible for schools, this is ridiculous, dude.
They need to be good schools.
They need to be good schools, and they need to be funded right. Like, that's my point. So I did this whole bit in response and had Jim Lotz on there. And then we had a couple of ideas of how to increase funding. But basically, it's up to the state, dude. We need to get where the state is funding school and think of it as an investment in all of society. The bottom line is this. You and I want to live in a society with an educated workforce. Why? Because A, there will be higher wages for everybody because that'll be the education sets the standard. B, there will be more competent individuals everywhere we go, more competent and educated and skilled people wherever we go, able to serve us in the ways that we all serve each other in a modern society. Also, this is ridiculous. Also, this is sort of just an investment in when you look at the most educated places, the people that put the most investment into education, those are the places that are really good. Like, those are the places where you'd want to live. Like, they have a good, prosperous economy. So my point is, people who give this line, I don't have any kids in school or grandkids in school. Why should I pay for the schools? You know what I mean? Why should my taxes have to cover it? The point is, are you ever hiring anybody for anything? You know, don't you want a good pool to hire from? If not, then there are other people around you hiring that you use their services and their goods. And don't you want them to be good? In other words, it's everybody benefits when there's good education.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
We all have a dog in the fight. It's called society and civilization. Unless we want it to crumble, we need to start investing in education.
47th out of 50, we
should be. Who's number one? The number one state for education.
I'm going to say, I'm going to just guess. Okay.
I thought you knew. No, I have no clue.
I don't know, but I would have some guesses.
Okay.
What's the number one state for education?
I'm going to ask Siri this question. I'm going to say it's Massachusetts or Washington State or even maybe the District of Columbia.
Now, why would Massachusetts be that?
I just think that it's a state that knows how to think about this in a logical way. I don't think
Massachusetts. You're
is it right. Massachusetts?
Yeah, it's Massachusetts.
There you go.
Good call.
Yeah. I just
and
think
we're 47th?
47th.
Jeez.
But look at Massachusetts, home of Harvard, home of MIT, isn't it, as well, and other places. I wouldn't trade with Massachusetts for a lot of other stuff,
by the way. Yeah.
There's very liberal on a lot of stuff that I'm not. Mm-hmm. But on this one, they've got it down. You know, I think that we at the very least need to be top 25. You want to be better than average. And by the way, we think about the educated workforce. There's a guy in Havasu. I can't remember the guy's name now. He's the owner of College Street Brewery.
Oh, I read this.
In Lake Havasu City.
I love this. I love it.
Yeah. He has invested a whole bunch of money into the University of Arizona campus up there. The reason he's doing this, I mean, to the level of like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in funding. And the reason he does it is he doesn't have a kid. He doesn't have any kid that might go to it. He doesn't have any grandkids or anything like that that might go to it. He's not getting anything back for it directly. But he says, I want this town to be a great town and to have the kinds of stuff in it that I want and the kinds of businesses that I want in it and to have the kind of workforce that I could hire that's really good. And how you invest in a place is to invest in the education of the place. Because he says all it would take is one person to come out of Lake Havasu City that would be the next Steve Jobs, the next Bill Gates, the next Henry Ford, whatever. Someone who's going to do something cool. The next Elon Musk from Tesla. Do you think anyone's going to say, I want to build a plant in my hometown of Havasu or my hometown of Parker if they don't think that they're going to be able to hire anybody there?
They wouldn't.
They wouldn't. And so if we want good jobs, everything that just makes somewhere a place that you want to live, you got to take this aspect seriously. That's all. And this was just a guy that got it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is a guy that gets it.
Yeah, I like that. When I read that, it made a lot of sense.
Makes a ton of
sense. I wish
sense.
I could, personally. If I made money, I would love to invest in the community.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's what you have to do. You have to invest in your community, and education has to be a priority.
So I'm going to get rid of these hiccups.
Yeah, you're still hiccuping. I see that. I think you're at the point where you're going to probably get nauseous. That's what happens to me when I hiccup for more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I start to get a little nauseous.
Right.
Next week, hopefully we'll have Jimmy Beaver in studio, Michael Collins as well. Maybe Melissa will be here and maybe a couple other guests. We'll work on getting Casey folks on the air because the Park 425 is coming up, baby.
I love it.
It's going to be here before you know it. We have just a few weeks until that wonderful occasion. And look at it this way. And now this is a podcast. I can proudly say Super Bowl during a podcast. The Super Bowl is not the same weekend as the Parker 425. So those of you, if you're like myself, who've had to choose which one to invest the most energy and attention to.
Hold on. You're telling me it's not the same weekend?
It's not the same weekend, John.
That's the first time I can ever remember.
Exactly.
When is it?
Super Bowl is the weekend before.
Oh.
Okay, Super Bowl is the 1st of February.
Well, this is very odd.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back next week for the Parker Livecast. Join us then. And I will try not to have hiccups.
Yeah, hopefully your hiccups will be gone by then.
I hope so, Josh. Yeah.
Jeez.
What's happening?
I just hiccup.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
See you next week.